Cambridgeshire drought continues. New houses are paused due to the lack of water, and Ian Dahler hasn't been able to water the pitch for 8 to 10 years now. In the league, though, thankfully, the points haven't dried up, and the draw with Charlton sees the Ewes edge closer to the beach. Hello, and a very warm welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. On this week's show, we're going to be looking at that very credible draw against Charlton and preview the Tuesday night trip down to Bristol Rovers. I'm your host, Jordan Warland, and joining me today is a panel. First up is a man that everyone wants to see in his beach attire. It's Jack Swindlehurst.
Oh, hello, Jordan. Yeah, I'm wearing my Bermuda shorts now. Looking forward to the summer. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you're a Speedos guy, mate.
Yeah, something like that. I ain't got much of a response to that, mate.
The photos are online if you really want to find them. Completing the trio, it's Mr. Tom Walker.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing very well, Tom. Pre-Charlton, I sent you a text message about Macaulay Bonn and what he would do. Tell the people what it said.
Oh my God, you've dropped that on me. You've dropped a bombshell on me. I can't remember.
I was so proud of this because it basically came true.
Oh yeah. Said, can't wait to see Bonn shush the away end. And to be fair to him, I think if it wasn't for Paul Digby's intervention, I think it could have been a lot worse. He weren't stopping. That's what I'm saying.
How do we feel about that as a moment? Because I personally would have liked to have seen him go the full distance to away end.
Oh, big time. Yeah. 100%. I wanted him to go full Adebayor, knee slide in front of it. And the good thing is, there's quite a big gap between the goal and the end of the pitch in the south stand where the Charlton fans were. So he might have been able to get out of it without having been shelled by bottles as well. So, a shame, if anything, I think.
We've got a lot that we could question Paul Digby for this season, and that goes straight, that goes onto the list too. It's also back-to-back goals at the Abbey that have been celebrated by cupping ears towards the away end, which is, I think, a first in my time at United, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had to ask me when the last time that happened was, because that's not the sort of, it's not the sort of stat that I tend to keep much record of, to be fair. But I'm enjoying it, I have to say.
We're going to be on the call for at least half hour, so you can think about it. Get to the end of the pod and think of like the best celebration where we've irritated the away end. Right, my intro was obviously a reference to Nathan Jones's post-match interview. We've had a question from Luke. Who has had the worst post-game meltdown this season? Is it Nathan Jones or is it Joey Barton? Jack Swindlehurst, you're one for having a bit of a meltdown, so yeah. Maybe you're best to answer that. Who did it better?
I don't know. I really, you know, I don't want to give Joey Barton that much airtime, really. And I think he's just having a kind of general breakdown, really. But yeah, the Nathan Jones stuff is absolutely up there. Absolutely classic, like head loss. I mean, it's not quite tinfoil hat stuff, but it is just kind of a brilliant reaction to what really wasn't the issue. And, you know, I think the draw was a fair result and he's just completely lost his head, which is great to see. And we love to see it, especially when it's an opposition manager. You know, we've had a tough time with managers and, you know, managers changing this year. So to see someone, you know, an opposition manager completely lose their head is a really nice thing to see.
I think I agree with you. I think the Joey Barton one was a bigger meltdown. I don't think Nathan Jones lost it as much. But what's interesting, Tom, is that's now the second manager in a row to come to the Abbey, not get 3 points, by the way, and also complain that the pitch is dry. Do you think this can't be a coincidence, right? This must be an instruction that Ian Dahler must have.
Yeah, we're going to need to get him to sign another waiver. Monk made me do it. Yeah, maybe. I think, like, look, let's, you know, start from the beginning. Nathan Jones is an absolute penis. And, you know, I don't think we needed any further confirmation of it from what we saw at his time at Southampton. But if we did, that interview can very much go on that list. Yeah, like, I think the other thing to point out is, like the job of a groundsman is not to create a football pitch which perfectly suits the opposition. It's kind of Nathan Jones's job to look at the conditions and look at what he's coming up against and find a way to beat it. Mm-hmm. That tends to be the main remit of a football manager. So to moan about the moisture or lack of on the pitch seems like a really strange thing, you know, particularly given he's been allowed to build quite an expensive squad. But yeah, look, Nathan Jones is a really odd character. He's someone that I won't even begin to try and understand the inner workings of his brain. He seems like an absolute head case.
You sound gutted that he didn't come here after Neil Harris left.
I think you can file him very much under one that you'd love to have at your club, but not one that you want to be coming up against. Probably a managerial version of a Lyle Taylor, I guess, in some ways. I don't think his meltdown was quite as bad as what Joey Barton's gone on to do. Because he's really kind of crossed many lines, to be honest. And I assume it's not just crossing lines that he's been doing either, which probably explains part of his meltdown as well. We did actually reach out to Joey. You know, obviously we've got
Is such a good point. Yeah, we should get this in.
we've got the Bristol Rovers preview coming up. We unfortunately weren't able to secure Joey Barton, but we did reach out to his podcast to request his availability.
Tom legitimately emailed them to ask.
I just thought it was brilliant. The email address, by the way, if anyone else wants to get in touch, is contact@thecommonsensepod.com. So Joey Barton spouting, you know, plenty of common sense, clearly.
Right, let's talk about the game.
Really
good point. Tom, give me your hot takes that dry out that underwater pitch. Underwatered pitch, I should say.
Yeah, really scorched earth. I'm not sure you'd be able to move a football too well on that. I think it was a really good point. I think it was a really well-earned point as well. And it's kind of hard to be like really critical, I guess, or come out of the game with a massive angle on it because, you know, it's a 1-1 draw at home to a mid-table team who've got nothing to play for. And on the face of it, that's probably pretty uninteresting. But I think the really reassuring thing and the thing that I guess has been so positive over the last couple of weeks, sort of post Reading, has been you're really starting to see a bit more of the influence that Monk's having on this team. And you know, we can look at that in a couple of ways. I guess the first one is the kind of mentality of the team. And it's something that Monk referred to in his press conference. And it's something that, you know, we've talked about even before Monk and even before Neil Harris came to the football club. And obviously while Bonner was here as well, was just like the reaction to going a goal behind has been, you know, at times very, very, very poor. And I thought our reaction was brilliant on Saturday. Look, the first half wasn't great. Charlton could and potentially should have had one or two more. But look, we did what you need to do when you're in our situation in the league. That's simply just hang in there. And eventually you have a moment where you will have an opportunity. You know, you might need to ride your luck at times. Alfie May's post comes up, you know, shot comes off the inside of the post, which is maybe a break of luck we might not have had a month ago. But yeah, I think that's the first thing that's really pleasing. But also just, you know, in terms of sort of tactical approach to the game, changing things up at the right time when he needed to. And obviously, I think, you know, if you look at his selection, you know, we'll talk about Macaulay Bonn, I'm sure, but, you know, his selection is one that maybe did raise a few eyebrows. You know, he's not started many games for us. And when he has, like, let's be honest, he's not exactly set the world alight. And, you know, he gets his reward. So I think it was quite a validating day, really, you know, all around for Monk and what his influence has been. And, you know, I guess if you look at what it does to our position in the league, we were, 5 points clear going into it? 4 points, I think it even might have been. 5 points, of course.
Yeah, now, six now, isn't it?
Yeah, and that obviously now becomes six with, you know, increasingly few games to play. And, you know, you look at the teams below us, particularly Vale and particularly Cheltenham, and they're beating themselves at the moment. So, you know, it kind of reassures you that actually we probably should be okay now. I wouldn't like to test the theory, but I think even if we lost our last four games, we'd probably be okay. I think 46 will probably do us. Let's definitely not test that, but I think we're probably okay. So, yeah, a really positive afternoon all round, really, I think. Just a shame we couldn't quite add the extra gloss on it with a winning goal, but I think on the balance of everything, I think a point was about right. A point will probably keep us quite happy and it keeps us ticking over. So, yeah, a lot of encouraging signs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think there was a point in the first half where specifically Rossi and Job were getting sort of bullied around a bit and you're thinking, God, this could quite easily be 2-3 before half time. We'll talk about Mannion in a bit. He obviously kept us in it in the first half. But yeah, that first point you made there about mentality, it did feel on Saturday that there was just fight in the team to sort of not give up and get back into it. So that's really encouraging. Swindle, let's talk about some of the specifics of the game then. And yeah, I think there's only one place to start. That's Macaulay Bonn. What was your reaction when the lineup came out and you saw him starting? Because obviously you and Tom covered the preview, you covered sort of possible changes, talked about maybe Ryan Bennett coming in back in or not. But, you know, Macaulay Bonn starting wasn't really at the front of the sort of the lineup selection. So what was your thoughts when you saw the lineup? And then, yeah, how do you think he did?
Well, it's funny because, as you say, Tom and I did the preview on Thursday, and I also went on the Charlton preview as well. And basically, we all kind of did the reverse of like waxing lyrical and kind of slated Macaulay Bonn. You know, they called him Mr. Offside. I was saying how he hadn't really, you know, been able to kind of settle in. He missed a couple of gilt edge chances. I didn't think there was going to be much for him here. So I think that kind of preceded the booze. If you know.
I think his words, Swindle, literally were Macaulay Bonn will definitely not score.
Yeah. And then lo and behold, but yeah, great curse the commentator to have. I think an all right game. I think he's a good player at this level. You know, he's proven that before. And I think the goal itself was, you know, kind of real show of quality. I think he is one of those players. I think that, you know, the point's been raised about the, you know, the fans getting on his back. And I think he's a bit of a reactionary player like that. And it's a good quality to have. And like you say, Paul Digby stepping in into the celebration, you know, may have saved him a yellow card, but, you know, there was passion there. And it's quite nice to see that kind of like being able to channel that passion rather than twatting someone around the head and getting sent off. If you can, you know, bring the ball down, score a goal and get us 1 point closer to safety, it's probably better than that. And then, you know, sitting in the director's box, injured, grinning from ear to ear like Lyle Taylor was yesterday. But yeah, no, really happy with Bonn kind of... yeah, stepping up at a time he really needed him to as well, because it's great to have had Ahadmay back. And then I was dubious, as I think a lot of fans were, when we saw the lineup come out yesterday, and maybe a bit of a kind of deep sigh. And as you say, the first half, you know, Mannion really kept us in it there. But yeah, good kind of, you know, sticking away and a bit of backbone and a bit of fight, like you said. I think we've missed that for quite a long time in the first half of this season. To have got that back is a really good thing. And yeah, Bonn deserves his plaudits from yesterday.
Yeah, it was an odd one seeing a lineup and at the time thinking, oh, he's going to play two up top. It seems ages since we've tried that. And I don't know, it worked in the sense that we've got a point from the game, but I also do think there were big chunks of Saturday where that formation wasn't quite working. You know, Digby and Cousins were very deep. It seemed like there was a real sort of disconnect between that sort of back seven and the front three. But we'll come into that later. Sticking with Macaulay Bonn then, we've had a question, Tom, from Richard saying, can we ask away fans to boo Bonn every game? Beyond that, what was your take on the Bonn goal? Because we were discussing it on the walk home and I thought, you know, as great as a swivel and hit as it was, I thought the goalkeeper should have been doing more. And you just told me you don't care if the keeper should be doing more.
Yeah.
If Jack Stevens had let that go in, what were your thoughts be?
Well, I mean, if Bonn had swiveled and slammed it past Jack Stevens from 20 yards out, I'd have let's say slightly bigger concerns than the goalkeeping. I think no, we've done our bit on Jack Stevens. You know, he's injured. He's you know, there's nothing else he can do. Let's leave him out of it. Yeah, no, I thought it was a really good goal. You know, I retain the opinion that I just don't really care how it goes in as long as it goes in. Really instinctive, which is good. And I think that's the sort of thing that maybe we expected from Bonn, given what his record's been, just a bit more of kind of an instinctive footballer at that end of the pitch. Yeah, I mean, look, let's not lie. The goalkeeper should have done better. And while watching Nathan Jones's interview, it became pretty clear that he also thought the goalkeeper should have done better as well. So it was a bit of a surprise, you know, because it kind of, you know, you thought, oh, it's quite an easy one. Then it sort of bounced up and obviously into the roof of the net, which was great. I think Kachunga did really well in the build-up as well, just sort of keeping it alive.
Definitely.
It was all a bit kind of you know, kind of arms and legs all over the place in the box, and obviously just kind of bounced to him, and you know, to hit it in from sort of the edge of the box into the bottom corner is really good. But yeah, I think it just shows what potentially a good player Bonn could be. You know, I guess the last couple of years have maybe been quite tricky for him, really, out on loan here, out on loan there. Maybe not having the impact that he might have liked when he went back to Charlton, dropping into League Two, which I guess is not something you see himself doing when he was sort of scoring goals in the Championship. And you know, now he makes his way to us, and I guess at this point, you know, there's, you know, precious little time left of the season, I guess, but he's probably playing for a next move, you know, whether that's making it permanent here or doing something else. So, you know, whatever way it goes with it, you know, the byproduct of him playing for, you know, the kind of next contract or the next, you know, the next thing, you know, what we get from that fundamentally should hopefully be a Macaulay Bond who's fired up and good to go. I hope it's not just kind of all driven by the fact it was Charlton, and I'd like to think we can see a bit more of it. But yeah, a really nice goal and a really important one.
Jack, another take from the lineup was that Rossi kept his place. Were you surprised by that? And how did you rate his performance over the 90?
A little maybe, but I think Rossi has bided his time really well. I think he's spent quite a lot of time kind of in waiting in the wings, and you know, it hasn't gone right for him injury wise per se. And I think, yeah, I think he's a kind of really kind of integral member of the squad. I think they all kind of respect him. He does a lot kind of off the pitch. And I think when he's come in, I think the players around him rate him, you know, and I think it's good to get him a run in the team. It's a funny thing. You were talking about the lineup and how we were playing two up top, and you quite often see it when teams are safe at the end of the season, kind of experimenting a bit if they're kind of playing for nothing. And it does seem a little bit like we're doing that, even though we're not quite safe. And it is quite funny to see like us kind of like varying it at this point. But it shows some kind of balls from the manager, because, you know, it's a big call. And bringing people like Rossi, who hasn't had much football in, I think he was solid. I think you're right. I think first half, him and Job looked a bit like they were going to get kind of overrun. And it's no surprise, really. I mean, you know, Connor Wickham is a serious player with some serious, you know, credibility to his name. And he showed that with his goal. But I think actually, yeah, as the game went on, they kind of got into it a bit more. And I would like to see Rossi have more of a run. I feel like we're going to probably need to see more of him next season. If he stays, then he's going to need to kind of, you know, look for his place. We know Michael Morrison's out injured, and you know, we might not see much more of Morrison, and we've got, you know, another aging centre back in Ryan Bennett and people out of contract and Job coming in. But yeah, someone to try and take that mantle and carry it forward. I think it's good to see a bit of Rossi, and he's just starting to show what he can do. And yeah, wasn't overawed after a pretty difficult start to the game, and kind of, yeah, fell into the game quite well.
It was a fairly inexperienced back three, wasn't it, Tom, with Rossi and Job both in there, and Swindle's just touched on this. It was a tough first half for them. A bit of a lesson in football coming up against Connor Wickham there. How well do you reckon the pair of them did to recover from that tough first half and actually play pretty well for the remainder?
I think they did okay. It's a difficult one with the goal, isn't it? Because, you know, as much as you want to look at it from our side and you want to kind of pick apart and analyse what could and should have been done better, I just think it's just a moment of really high quality from Wickham.
The finish is unreal, isn't it?
It's a way, you know, to bring it down, touch, and then just kind of rifle it into the corner, all basically within one movement. You know, obviously, I think his body's let him down really throughout his career, and sort of injuries have really disrupted it. But you can see just from that moment alone that he's a player with real, real quality, particularly at this level. So I actually think, even though that was the kind of telling impact that he made, and that was the sort of telling moment, I guess, from our side, I think that's probably one moment you can't really criticise him too much for. I think you could maybe argue, I think it's Job, could he be a bit tighter? But you know, I think you're picking there, really. I think they did pretty well. You mentioned about the sort of task that Wickham poses. I mean, it doesn't get any easier in the second half when they bring on Alfie May and Chucks and Hike as well. Like, you know, you've got the goal scorer in this division, and obviously Anika has been a handful at this level as well. Again, I think injuries have kind of let him down a bit, but I think that, you know, they did pretty well overall. I think you know, for Job, it's another game under his belt, and like you say, it's probably a bit of a lesson. It's probably good experience for the future, and for Rossi, I guess more than anything, it's probably more about just getting more minutes, because it's something that he's not really been able to do, and to be able to put back to back starts, you know, under his belt, that'll be really good, and it's something he's obviously had to wait for. And I guess all you can ask really is when players do have to wait for their chances, and you know, they do have to wait to get that opportunity, that they kind of take it with both hands. And I think he's done pretty well, really, and particularly enjoyed the headband, the bandage. Always love seeing that. It's very John Taylor-esque, isn't it? That particularly with a little bit of blood soaking through it as well. Maybe that's the sadist in me that enjoys that, but I think it was a really good showing. And I mean, to limit to Charlton to fairly little in terms of like proper clear cut opportunities, at least I think is really good. Obviously, a slightly hairy moment in the second half, but that aside, I think we dealt with them pretty well.
The frustrating thing with the highlights is by the time the camera's panned out, Wickham's already sort of taken the ball down, so you don't see the movement. So you can't actually watch back and see if he was offside or not. I know there was a few shouts for it in the crowd. Swindle, you're shaking your head. You're not having it?
No, I don't think so. No, I think he's kept onside. I also think he's the type of kind of striker who's been doing that his whole career and kind of knows how to be onside and how to kind of carry that line. So yeah, I don't. Well, also, you know, NRE arguably isn't the best angle for it. But anyway, I don't think so. And yeah, he's just a cut above. But yeah, great goal. I think we can't dig out people too much. But yeah, hopefully also learn from that experience. You know, those two players we spoke about, hopefully they can kind of take that and learn from it. And yeah, take it forward, really.
Here's a question for you, Swindle, that's coming from Mark. He asks, did us playing two up top mean that we got overrun in midfield? I felt like we were sitting quite deep. It did feel like the gap between Digby Cuxlands and Kachunga was quite large at points. So I do get where Mark's coming from here.
I think I can. I mean, like I said earlier, when you experiment with kind of formations and positioning and stuff, it can really throw the team off kilter. And I think it's an odd time to do it kind of in this season, but we've almost been forced into it. And I think we are dealing with it quite well. But yeah, I think the midfield just kind of taking, you know, having that five at the back, it really does kind of change it a little bit. And I think it's interesting to see like how the team deals with it. I still think, for all that Digby's kind of had a little bit of a resurgence, I think Digby's time at this level might be up, certainly with us. And I think, yeah, Cousins should get an honourable mention. He's kind of come back into it and just seems to be playing, you know, a bit more like the player we expected we might have got. But yeah, I think there was...
Would you keep Cousins? Because that's a question that we've had come in this time from Martin, who basically just asked, would you give him a new contract?
I think I probably would. From the point of view, I was thinking about the amount of players that we're going to be seeing going out the door. And I know it's not gone brilliantly for him this season, but if we can get him started, you know, a good preseason and then started next season, he could really kind of get that momentum back and that quality that we know he possesses somewhere. I do think we're going to have a big kind of turnover in the summer. So I think someone like that might be worth keeping. But yeah, Tom might think differently.
Well, yeah, Tom, same question, mate.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think that's gonna be a massive shock to either of you guys, to be honest. I just think, like, you know, over the balance and over the course of a season, I think to put a couple of good performances together sort of near the end and just go, that's, you know, there's your new contract, I think I'm just not sure I've quite seen enough. He's played better, like he has recently, but I'm trying not to kind of have too much recency bias in my thoughts of it and not be too swayed by it, because you know, we've got to remember that, like, we sat here like week after week after week after week on preview shows or review shows saying that's the area the park is letting us down at the moment, and it was for a long part of the season. So yeah, it doesn't change too much for me, to be honest. But I'm glad to see he's playing well.
You made such a brilliant point on the preview pods about the fact that the area that's letting us down the most is central midfield, and actually going into the new season, the most players under contract are sort of central midfield players. So yeah, I completely agree with Swindle. Like, there's going to be a big churn in the squad in the summer that could definitely hinder us. But yeah, the jury's out for me. I'm not sure. Not sure I would be keeping Cousins as kind of our marquee central midfielder, especially if perhaps you can't move on the likes of, say, Digby or May, who are under contract. So maybe it's a case of better using that money. Let's end the talk about the Charlton game with a positive. Bon won man of the match. Well done to everyone who voted on Twitter for winding up the Charlton fans. I actually personally think Mannion should have won it. So let's have a few words on his performance from both of you, because yeah, there were two absolute quality saves in the first half and then a couple in the second as well. Yeah, thoughts on his performance and how he's been doing since he's taken the number one jersey with Stevens being out injured?
Yeah, I think he's done really well. I think there's always been the quality there with Mannion, and I think he's been quite unlucky. He's come in and covered injury, you know, even as far back as Mitov, and always seemed to be kind of playing second fiddle and was just there for injury cover, really. Even when he played well, you know, he was on quite a good run when he was playing last season, and I think he's a good keeper. I think it's nice that we've been able to give him a bit of you know, a run in the team. It's a shame for Jack Stevens, but we don't need to keep on going on about that. He's injured, so we need cover for it. I think the save from Tyrese Campbell in the first half is, you know, incredible, really, and the timing of it, that could really have turned the game on its head if Mannion didn't make that save. And you know, that's probably kept us in that game, you know, 1-0. Very dangerous scoreline. We like dangerous scorelines on this podcast. But yeah, I just think, yeah, brilliant. You know, kind of game awareness as well. I think he fills me with more faith generally in the game than it did with Jack Stevens. He seems to command the box a little better, and I think he's got good communication. I mean, when I heard him speak in that press conference, he seemed completely unfazed about the formation change. He didn't seem to think it would make any difference at all. He was like, you know, I play with the team in front of me. I'm confident in my ability. Seems to know what he's doing. He's pretty regimented, and yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. I'm happy that he's doing well and, you know, contributed to his battling to stay up this season.
Tom, what about yourself? Thoughts on the performance, and then also thoughts on what to do this summer? Because I believe we have a second year on Stevens. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, tricky one. I think against Charlton is really good. You know, Swindle mentioned obviously the save in the first half, which I agree is like really important timing. Because we've just talked about, you know, the way that we stayed in the game, and obviously if that second goes in, then it makes it a lot more difficult. But he also made a really good one low down in the second half. I can't remember who took the shot. I think it's from about sort of 20, 25 yards. It's pretty low, and you know, did well to get down to it and sort of tip it around the post. And I think he's just played pretty well, really. I think he's just been a pretty steady presence in goal, something which Stevens hasn't always been. I think that's fair to say. So yeah, it is a tricky one in that I think Mannion's out of contract and Stevens is under contract. Yet I think you would probably prefer to keep Mannion over Stevens, but I don't know logistically how possible that's going to be. And I guess really the thought process is, would we be looking for an upgrade, you know, in goal? And if we're pretty happy with Mannion, then I guess he probably goes into next season as the number one. But I feel that we may look elsewhere. That's just my gut feel. But yeah, I guess I'll have to see. But look, he's doing himself no harm, and you know, I guess, you know, part of me thinks that I hope that we do see that going into next season, because you know, let's not forget, like you look at someone like Mitov, for example. He had quite a similar situation, I think, at the start of his career with us. You know, sub goalie, the odd appearance here and there can never really stick. And then I think you just got to run in the team quite similar, really. I think at the end of one of the seasons, and you know, obviously that went pretty well, right? You know, he was obviously a big part of that team and of that group for 4 or 5 years in the end. So there's no reason that that couldn't be the case with Mannion, but something just tells me that maybe we might look elsewhere. But I'm more than happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I also wonder if he'll want to nail down a number one jersey himself and might be looking for that move to kick on. Right, we have a midweek game. We travel to Bristol Rovers. We'll talk about that and our thoughts in a second. But to get us in the mood, we spoke with someone, name to be confirmed, from the Talking Gas podcast. Let's have a listen.
Right then, news fans, I'm joined by Charlie Hayne from the Talking Gas podcast. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on.
So, an interesting season then for Rovers. 54 points, you know, well clear of relegation, but you know, quite far away from any sort of playoff hopes. Has it been a bit of a kind of underwhelming one for you guys?
Yeah, that's what I would personally say. I think a lot of Rovers fans, you know, after our summer, you know, recruitment when we had, of course, Barton back then, you know, a lot of people were quite optimistic with at least trying to get in the top 10, if not try and fight for the, you know, for a playoff spot. But yeah, unfortunately, like you said, it's been very, very underwhelming. You know, we got our first win yesterday, you know, in 7 games. So yeah, it's been very frustrating.
Yeah, what's been the issues for you then this season? Has it been kind of defence or kind of lack of potency in attack?
I think it's a bit of both. I think we've been in a lot of games, but when we've had the chances, we haven't quite put them away. But also the defense, we've conceded a hell of a lot of goals as well, which which is similar to last season as well. So, yeah, you know, we've had, of course, Chris Martin being the main player for us in terms of goals. But, yeah, overall, it's just been a lot of games where we've had the chances. I could count loads of them, but there'd be too many to go through. But, yeah, it's very frustrating, you know, in terms of defence and attack when we're in games and having the chances but not finishing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you made reference to Saturday's game. That was a positive result, a 3-1 victory at Cheltenham Town. Sorry, what happened there then?
Yeah, to be fair, it's completely different to obviously what we've seen. You know, before that game, we went 7 games without a win, 7 games without a goal. You know, we hadn't scored in over 12 hours of football, which was mental. But yeah, the main thing is that we started the game well. We were on the front foot. Everyone looked at it. Everyone, you know, like I said, the previous games has been so poor, you know, whether it's been the manager or players not looking up for it, but everyone was on it from minute one, and it should have been more, really. It could have been 5 or 6 if it weren't for their keeper, you know, making a penalty save and keeping a minute. You know, he was man of the match considering, you know, they lost 3-1. So that says it all, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they're having a tough time of it, but you've got to beat the team in front of you. Interesting to see yesterday, obviously, Scott Sinclair on the score sheet, but also Brandon Aguilera on loan from Forest. How good has he been this season for you?
Yeah, so we signed him in January on deadline day. And his first game, he was unbelievable. Scored a goal in our 1-0 away win at Exeter. And then he played a couple of games, then he got injured. So he's only been sort of back in around the team like the last 3 or 4 games. But yeah, he's very good on the ball, very silky. He can sort of play in the 10 or in centre mid. And yeah, got his second goal, took it really well. So yeah, he's been quite a good signing since January.
Which other players might you pick out as kind of key players to look out for who might make a difference on Tuesday?
I'd probably go for Evans, Anthony Evans, centre attacking midfielder, although he can drop deep and sort of dictate play. I'd go with him. I think he's on 19 goal contributions for the season. Thomas, who is always one to look out for. Sometimes he's not got the end product, but he'll always cause problems. He come out with 2 assists yesterday. And Martin has been the main person for goals. He's on 15. He hasn't scored, you know, in the last 5 or 6, you know, sort of when he stopped scoring, our poor run began, really. But he was involved in 2 goals yesterday, sort of holding the ball up. So I'd probably say them 3 as the main ones.
Absolutely. Matt Taylor, your manager at the moment, obviously take you through to the end of the season. Do you think he's the man for the job to take you forward next season?
Yeah, I still think he is. There's been a lot of, you know, considering he joined in sort of early to mid-December, and he had a really good sort of honeymoon period. The first month, he picked up some good results, beat Bolton away, beat Pompey at home, beat Cheltenham at home. But then before yesterday, he went on a run of 5 wins in 19 games. And obviously, you know, the goals as well has been a problem for that time. But yeah, I still think he is. I still think you've got to give him at least a summer window. I do like him. You know, he wasn't my first choice, but he was my second. So yeah, there's been a lot of debate because it was very toxic, our last home game. It turned toxic at the end in the 2-0 loss to Reading at full-time. A lot of people were turning, and still people want him out now. So I still think he's the man for the job, but he's got a sort of big summer on his hands with a lot of players being out of contract or a lot of loan players returning to their clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot to happen between now and next season. But realistically, next season, do you think the aim should still be to be looking towards those playoffs?
Yeah, hopefully. That's the main aim. I certainly don't want the same as this season and last season, because it's very frustrating. You always want to sort of aim to not just be mid-table, because it's so frustrating. So hopefully that is the plan, I think, for many Rovers fans. I think, like I said earlier, I think a lot of people are optimistic going into this season, but hopefully next season is where we can, yeah, sort of rebuild in the summer and then go again and hopefully have a better season.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we wish you the best after Tuesday. Looking ahead to Tuesday's game, how do you see things panning out?
It's a tough one because we haven't managed to back up many wins this season. I think it's only four or five times we've had back-to-back wins. So I would hope we would go into it, of course, with a lot more confidence after scoring three goals and getting our first win in quite a while. But, you know, if I was to give a prediction, I'd probably say Rovers will just edge it. But I wouldn't be surprised if we lost or drew the game, because I know you've been on some good form since you've got, of course, your new manager in, that we were actually linked with as well at the time of trying to get Taylor in. So, yeah.
Yeah, certainly be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. And it'll be hopefully both in the same league next season. And hopefully no one below us puts in a good run. Listen, Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Right. Thank you very much for that one, Swindle. Great, great, great preview by your high standard as well. Before we talk about Bristol Rovers specifically in the game, I think it's worth sort of reflecting on the position we are in now based on Saturday's results going into Tuesday. So, Tom, you get the pleasure of telling me your thoughts on Port Vale being 2-0 up at halftime and then conceding four second half goals to Exeter, I believe it was, to lose 4-2.
Oh, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. Someone's looking down on us, I think, because was it the same weekend of the season? No, maybe we're a week earlier, but it's like last season when MK were 4-1 up, absolutely cruising. I think they're playing Barnsley, end up drawing 4-4. And you're just seeing the score come through, you're like, sure, they're not going to concede again. And then they concede again. You're like, sure, they're not going to concede again. And it just keeps on going. Look, it's really good for us, obviously. You know, I mentioned it a moment ago. It feels like the teams at the bottom are kind of beating themselves a little bit. Burton are the ones who, weirdly enough, are showing a bit more spirit and backbone. Yeah, I think, well, obviously, it goes without saying, we're in a position where if we can go and win on Tuesday night, then that's it. So, glad to see them falling over each other to get back into League Two. And glad that we've managed to hoist ourselves just a little way out of that. So it's good stuff.
Swindle, you get the privilege of talking about Cheltenham, who I believe are 1-9 or 1-10. They lost 3-1 to Tuesday night's opponents, Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers, ahead of that game, hadn't scored in 8, which you just knew was setting itself up to turn that record around when we visit. So nice that they've got their goals out of the way. Big defeat, I should say, big win for us that Cheltenham didn't pick up any points on Saturday as well.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a different feel to it than it did last season. I mean, Cheltenham, yeah, now lost 4 on the bounce. They've been shipping goals too. I feel like they're already 5 points adrift. And whilst they've a game in hand over Burton, who are, you know, currently out of the relegation zone, it feels like they're going to have a fairly kind of monumental turnaround. You know, we were lucky enough last season. Well, you know, not just luck, but we had a bit of momentum and we managed to get that kind of run going and, you know, maintain it. Burton aside, you know, we did well. But yeah, Cheltenham look like they're really struggling. I think Bristol Rovers, you know, will fancy all 3 points against us on Tuesday night after that. After that victory on Saturday. And, you know, they've got quite a healthy looking squad of names that, you know, people at this level will recognise. But yeah, Cheltenham just feels like they might be kind of on their way out of this league at this point. Stranger things have happened. And like Tom said earlier, we wouldn't want to test the theory about not getting any more points this season. So we could go to Bristol Rovers and get another positive result on Tuesday. It's another step towards League One football next year.
Somehow we have a better goal difference than quite a few teams. And after Saturday's results, we've gone above Shrewsbury, which is brilliant to see. So, yeah, we go into Tuesday night going down to Bristol. I guess the main headline with the squad is that Gibbons, being on loan from them, can't play. I guess, Tom, probably not too much of a problem, that one, really, because you've got, you know, Ryan Bennett, who can come back in, and you can push Danny Andrew out onto the wing back. You've got James Brophy, who was obviously rested on, well, I say rested, didn't start on Saturday, so should be rested. So, yeah, obviously disappointing to not have Gibbons available, but doesn't feel like the end of the world in terms of options that we've got.
No, I don't think so. It's a shame because I think he did play really well against Charlton, and I think actually had a pretty decent game at Blackpool as well. So that's obviously a bit of a shame. But yeah, I think there's people that could come in there and fill in, right? I'd guess probably Brophy. But now you mention it, I do quite like the idea of maybe pushing Danny Andrew out there, get him forward a little bit more, bring Ryan.
Well, I was wondering if we would maybe switch back to not having two up top. So as well as Bond did on Saturday, I've got a sneaky feeling he might get dropped and we might see someone like Brophy go in, sort of more central, playing alongside, I don't know, like a Kuchung or something like that behind Gassan. That was my thinking, sort of maybe play more on the break.
Cool, it's exciting, isn't it? The possibilities are almost literally endless.
Tom, I feel like you haven't acknowledged the fact that this is my first time doing a podcast with you since we switched to three at the back.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
We've been chatting for 40 minutes and you've not checked in on this.
You must have been particularly happy at Blackpool when it was a sort of 3-4-2-1, because that's a proper Christmas tree, isn't it?
Well, in my eyes it is, but some people listening to this will say, no, it's not. But that's by the by.
Why wouldn't it be? Of course it is.
Well, it's the line of thinking about
the number one, isn't it? Yeah.
Being like, that's not very helpful for everyone listening. Me putting my hands up and doing a triangle, but no,
doing a triangle to the camera there.
Yeah, a triangle. Rather than, you know,
4-3-2-1 is the formation. I'm told is the actual Christmas tree.
But I suppose a Christmas tree with a 3-4, maybe the three is like the pot.
Well, that was my thinking. That was my thinking. I've had articles and all sorts sent to me, so there is. You know, there is theory behind it.
Oh, but,
you
know, how we've not won an award is beyond me.
Yeah.
Who's written an article about that?
I think it might have been
really important work, don't they?
but yeah, no, I'm just glad that it is seen an upturn in our performances. So, you know, it's not about me. It's not about, you know, my satisfaction. It's about the team. So yeah, enjoying it. It does seem that it brings out best in a few players, which is good. So yeah, enjoying it. Swindle, what about you on Tuesday night? How are you going to line up?
Yeah, it's a tough one at this point in the season. It's a shame not to have Gibbons, just because he's looked really good and you don't really want to be taking people up. You know, our hands are bound on that. I think I probably agree with you. I think maybe pulling one of the strikers in and maybe even bringing like Kai back in. I wouldn't be surprised if Lancaster came back in either. So yeah, a little bit of a rejig, but nothing too kind of groundbreaking, and I don't think he'll want to mix it up. I think we're playing quite well, and I even think Blackpool, to a point, I don't think was awful. So I think, yeah, I think he'll want to kind of not change it too much, but also, you know, do the right kind of rotation. I'd be interested to see whether Rossi keeps his place or not. You know, that might be the one that I think could change in that back three, really. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Monk lines up.
So they won on Saturday, Bristol Rovers, but they are still bottom of the form table as it stands. A real opportunity on Tuesday night, I think. Even just getting a point would be a real sort of statement, because, you know, some other teams aren't playing on Tuesday. How do we see the game panning out? Do you see us getting anything, Swindle?
I do. I think we could go there and, you know, be looking for a positive result for sure. I mean, like you say, you know, that their form's indifferent. And, you know, whilst they scored three goals yesterday, they scored three goals against a poor Cheltenham team. And please, no one make reference to how we did against Cheltenham this year. But yeah, I think it could be quite a good time to play them. You know, I don't think that's momentum. I think that's just, you know, a result out of a pretty poor run. So yeah, I think, you know, United should be pretty kind of optimistic about going there. I don't think Monk will, you know, have them sit back too much. I think your point about kind of, yeah, rejigging the kind of the top of the formation might be good. I think going away from home against a team like that, you might want to do that anyway. So yeah, I think we should be going there and looking for a draw, another point towards League One football next year. And I don't see why we couldn't get something from it.
They haven't won in their last, what, three home games that I can see. Tom, are you making the trip on Tuesday?
It certainly looks that way. Yeah.
Are you going to see a win, do you think?
I don't know. I've had some pretty disappointing trips to Bristol over the years. I hope so. It's another one of those games where you sort of trick yourself into thinking that because we need the points and Bristol Rovers don't, we will win. But the fact that there's actually a game of football to be played means it might not pan out as easily as that or as simple as that. Look, I mean, they're there to be got at, right? Like, you know, I think that's the main thing that we need to keep in mind. You know, a good result for them on Saturday, of course, but like they've been a pretty shaky side over the last few weeks, as obviously you pointed out. They didn't score a goal for God knows how long, like 8 games, was it?
Yeah.
that's pretty significant. Like even we at our worst didn't go for a run like that. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be the case that that's it. It's fixed now. They're beating Cheltenham and now they're, you know, sort of lift off sort of thing. It might be, but I don't necessarily see it. I think there's probably still, as far as I could see, and I know that X isn't obviously the best gauge of the opinions of an entire fan base, but there seemed to be some unrest there about, you know, the manager and the sort of job that he'd been doing. I will say that if you go back before the terrible run they're on, it looks pretty inconsistent. You know, losses follow wins and vice versa. So hopefully we can repeat that pattern.
Did they start the season really well? I'm trying. It seems like forever ago, but was that this year they started the season really, really well? They were quite near the top for a while. Have I just made that up?
You might have made it up. I think.
Good stuff.
A little bit because we beat them, didn't we? Like right near the start of the season. Mm. And that was when they, you know, were sort of like the interviews happened,
yeah.
And we all collectively got a bit pissed off. But yeah, I think it's a very winnable game. You know, I think actually the fixture we've got left, if you're of the opinion that we need a win to secure things, which I guess mathematically we do, but probably we don't. But if you are of that opinion and that's your viewpoint, I think Tuesday night's your win, right? I think based on the teams we've got to play, actually probably Port Vale, isn't it? That's daft. Yeah, it's probably Port Vale.
I fancy us at home to Wickham as well, mate. Hey, oh, that's 9 more points.
How far are we off the playoffs?
Oh, just more than 9, slightly. Never mind.
Oh my God, imagine we play Posh in the playoffs. That'd be absolutely horrendous, wouldn't it?
What with that 6-0 aggregate score in regular season, yeah. Anyway, talking of scores, score prediction time. Swindle, you're first up.
Yeah, I think Tom made a couple of good points there, and I think it's going to be, you know, I quite fancy there to be a few goals, and I think I'm going to go for a 2-2. I think, you know, United might go ahead early and then fall behind and peg them back late on. You know, it's got that end-of-season feel to it. I know we're not safe, and I'm absolutely not, you know, counting any chickens or eggs or anything like that. But, yeah, I think it's it just got that feel that it could be a bit of a goal fest.
That's a brave, brave call, considering they haven't scored in 8 ahead of Saturday. Tom, goal fest for you, and if so, in which way?
I don't know.
Tom's going nil-nil.
I'm not sure that there have been too many games in a positive sense you could describe featuring Cambridge United as a goal fest. There have been a couple that have involved a lot of goals, of course, but
yeah.
I'm not sure if a 5-0 drubbing constitutes a goal fest, or if it has to be a bit more evenly balanced.
Not that long ago that we conceded 10 in 2 games.
That was a laugh. The dark days of March. The dark days of GMT, sorry, I should say.
I was going to say, clocks have changed.
Yeah. I fancy us. I don't know why. I think the way that it will be kind of sold or sort of, you know, the motivation hopefully given to the players is like, this is it. Like, go win this and feet up, basically. Mm. I'm sure the messaging will be a bit more nuanced than that. It won't be exactly that from Gary Monk, but I think it's like, just don't, like, allow for any sort of shenanigans towards the end of the season. So, yeah, I fancy us to go there and get something. How about another little 1-1, Jord? How about that?
I take a point. Right, that seems like the perfect place to stop. Swindle, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jord.
Tom, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, as always.